Readings this morning, and the first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's on page 1153 in the Bible, the pews, if you want it, or up there. And it's the first 11 verses. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. And therefore I tell you now that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given by the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. And our next reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 25, to the end, in other words. And that's to be found on page 1171. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself to be circumcised that he is required to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness of which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? What kind of persuasion does not come from one who calls you? A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I'm still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish them they could go to the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in the single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. You are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be too conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Thank you, David. Good long reading. Partly because I got a bit muddled up during the week, I think, and gave different people different bits of Galatians. David read the whole lot, which is no harm done at all. Thank you, David, for that. And I hope you've got a glass of water after that one. Really good. As you know, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit for a while, and we've looked at the baptism of the Spirit a couple of weeks ago from Acts. We've looked at the filling of the Spirit and living in the Spirit last week. This week, we're going to look at some gifts and some fruits, which I hope, if it's working, will eventually, David, appear up there, but we'll keep going. Anyway, we looked at the beginning of Acts a couple of weeks ago, and we reminded ourselves last week about that, and we saw that the promise that God had given of the coming Holy Spirit was finally realized on that day. They saw the Holy Spirit come. Fantastic. The Holy Spirit came to dwell and stay with Christians, stay with disciples of Jesus. And so the church was established and became active in their communities. We saw that last week, how they became a community of Christians, a community of like-minded believers in Jesus, and they began to reach their community. By the way, if you go to John chapter 17, you'll discover a prayer of Jesus, a well-known prayer of Jesus in John 17. And he leaves his disciples in the world because Jesus says to the disciples, I'm about to leave this particular place. You won't see me in the same way bodily anymore. I'll still be with you, but in a different way, in a different form. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will come to be with you. And Jesus explains that to them. But he said, although I'm leaving this place in the way that I've been here up until now, in this bodily form, you are remaining in the world. Christians aren't meant to be hidden away. Christians are meant to be part of the community, part of the world. It's a funny picture, but in the Bible talks about Christians, those who believe in Jesus, disciples and followers of Jesus, of being in the world, but not of the world. When I was a young boy, that used to be really a big thing that was in our churches. We were not to do lots of things like going to the cinema and buying ice cream on a Sunday and all sorts of other things like that. We weren't allowed to, I don't know why it was buying ice cream on a Sunday that reminds me. I think it was just those holiday times. We weren't allowed to have those things on a Sunday that we would have other days of the week. But that's not what it means to be not of the world. It means living a Christian life, living a life guided by the Holy Spirit in the normal world, in normal everyday life, putting our faith into practice in ordinary lives. Jesus called his disciples to be witnesses. He said, you'll be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in the community. And we're asking at the moment as a church, how do we effectively reach the communities that we're part of? And each of you are part of different communities. We're part of a community in the place we live. Swathling is a community, a bit of a scattered community, but it is part of a community. There's a community life here. There's people that recognise themselves as being part of Swathling and Mansbridge as areas. There is a community here. There's a community where you live or the place you work. There are people that you mix with day by day. All of those are places for us to live our Christian life out in. Because Jesus calls Christians or disciples of Jesus to life more abundant, Spirit-powered, and to worship by lifestyle. We're called to be continuously filled with the Spirit. Not just filled with the Spirit once, but continuously to receive power from Jesus on a day-by-day basis. That's what we tried to stress last week, that we need the filling of Jesus, need the filling of the Holy Spirit day by day by day, because we use the power that he's given us and we need a refill of it regularly. Sometimes we need to take time out to do that. Sometimes we need to take time during the day to receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. The challenge really for us is, am I making room for the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I allowing some of the other nonsense that gets into my life to be pushed to one side so that the Holy Spirit can have space to act and move? So that the Holy Spirit can work through me. He comes into me, he comes on me, the Bible says, and then works out through me and continues to fill me and work me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, that I might continue to be a witness. By the way, talking of Christians and disciples, words I probably use during this message interchangeably, I discovered some while ago that actually the people, we as believers in Jesus, are only referred to as Christians in the New Testament, I think it's three times. And two of those were derisory terms. So actually, in some ways, Christianity has become just another religion in some people's thinking. It's not just a religion, it's about a faith in Jesus Christ. And so I often prefer to call myself these days a disciple of Jesus rather than a Christian, because a Christian in some countries, if you're Christian, it means you're not Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist. It just means you're something else. You're one of those types that, you know, and when you go to the hospital, you know, you I don't know if you're asked these days much, are you? But one of the things you used to be asked is, what's your religion? So that the chaplains can come and visit you, or a priest can be allowed in to see you, or if you die, you know who to call. That's a bit sad, isn't it? You know, they need to know your religion so that should you die in hospital, you know who to call. But seriously, you would say often, you know, you'd say, I'm a Christian. But nowadays, I think I might well say I'm a disciple of Jesus rather than a Christian, although, because it can be so misunderstood these days. Let's begin then on the next slide. Beginning thinking in these words we've read in 1 Corinthians. Because 1 Corinthians talks about us being the body of Christ. We are all one in the Spirit, the body of Christ. Now, a few years ago, I used to be asked sometimes when I went to church, especially as church leader, a leader in church or a pastor, I would be asked, are there Spirit-filled people in your church? Are the people in your church Spirit-filled? Are you Spirit-filled? And I used to think, oh, I jolly well hope so. And I think so, because as far as I'm concerned, all Christians, all disciples of Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. He comes in to indwell us, to give us assurance of salvation, and to empower us. And frankly, let's put it crudely, without the Holy Spirit in your life, you are useless, because you cannot do this Christian thing by yourself, nor can I. We need the Holy Spirit. So yes, potentially, did I put the word potential up there? Yes, I did. Potentially, we all have the power to live for Jesus, because we all have the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in. There are different types of experience of the Holy Spirit. When I was a teenager and the charismatic movement, as it was known in those days, was rife, you were told a particular way that you had to receive the Spirit of God. And I discovered that people had different experiences. It worked in different ways. Some spoke with tongues, some didn't. Some danced and rejoiced, some didn't. Some fell down on the power of the Holy Spirit on the floor, some didn't. So many things were so different the way the Holy Spirit worked. And I started to read Acts. And I discovered that sometimes when the Holy Spirit came in and on people, he acted in different ways depending on the person and the personality of the person, where they were and who they were. So the Holy Spirit is not predictable. You can't take a box and say, let's put the Holy Spirit in this particular box. He works like this. Because the Holy Spirit then says, I'm going to surprise them and do it a different way. I'm going to be different in this case. And we're all different, aren't we? Gosh, imagine if we were all like David back there. What would the world be like? Imagine if we were all like me or Frank. Or Jean. I'd love to be like Jean, actually, really, because she's a lovely person. But, you know, I'm not going to put you down. But we don't all be like you. We're all unique. We're all different. And I love thinking about that. Because this is the power of 1 Corinthians 12 about the body of Christ. You are all unique. You're all different. But what does it say? It says you have different gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. You have different service, but the same Lord. Different working, but the same God. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are involved in your life. It's the same God, the same Holy Spirit that comes into, but he makes us all different and unique. Isn't that amazing? You see, we all have unique personalities, don't we? Some of you will be lively and outgoing. Some of you are quite quiet. You sit in the back row. I mean, not necessarily sit in the back row today, but some of you are quite lively and always coming forward. I don't know what sort of people there are. I don't want you just to name anybody. But some of you are quieter, and we need all those types of people, don't we? We need the quiet, active ones. We need the ones who've got something to say. We need the ones who've got very little to say, but when they do say something, it was well worth saying. We need all of those people. We're not all the same. We're unique. We all have the same potential because we all have the same Holy Spirit. We're not meant to live this life alone. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 onwards gives us a picture of the body of Christ. I don't know if it quite looks like the picture. Oh, come back. I don't know if it quite looks like that picture, but that was the only one I could find that represented the fact that we are all part of the body of Jesus. We all have the same spirit. We're all vital. When I was a teenager, again, I was struck by the Bible verse that says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That doesn't mean that we can leave one of you out. We can't leave John out and say, well, we're a part of the body, but John isn't. He's included, even without hair. He's very much part of your heir of salvation, by the way. Bible says. So seriously, we're all part of this. We're all in this thing. Some appear to be less important. Some spend their time at the front of the church. Some spend their time in the background. And sometimes, you know, it's the ones in the background you don't really see very much that get most of the work done, isn't it? It's the ones that are quiet and humble that get most of the work done. Some suffer. Some of the people in our church, we say, are in pain and difficulty and challenge and have mental health problems and physical health problems. We want, as a church, if we're part of the body of Christ, to join in that pain and share it with them. To say, come on, we'll come alongside you and we'll pray. I thank you all that you've prayed and prayed and prayed over the last few weeks for baby Harvey. Although he's not part of our church exactly, he's on the fringe of the church with his family. I know that they know that we are praying day by day, and Harvey is getting better as time goes by. And I know that prayer is valued and eventually will seriously touch the lives of that family. So it's exciting that we get alongside. And I know that Jeff and Linda, when I saw them yesterday in their care home, they appreciate the fact that although Linda can't be here with us today, she can't make it today because of getting from the care home, she knows that she's part of one with us. She knows that we will go through this with her as the body of Christ. So the Spirit of God unites us as one with Jesus Christ as the head. That's the picture in the Bible. The Holy Spirit brings us together in unity. We're given the Holy Spirit so we can work together. Now, that doesn't mean you will always agree with me or I will always agree with you. There are some things in which we will disagree, true? Even in your marriages, husband and wife, you sometimes have minor disagreements. Not quite Boris Johnson type of agreements, but I never said that. But you might have, although he says that everybody has those, every couple has those at the end of a busy week, do you? They were. But Boris is wrong and God is right. But we won't go there. We've been there already, I think. But we're given the Holy Spirit so we can work together, so that he can give us each the power to work together. So, what are you feeling like this morning? I wonder if sometimes during the week you get to feel a little bit underpowered. I don't know if I can handle this. Then what do? First of all, there's a couple of things we can do. First of all, we can just simply call on God's Holy Spirit. Say, I need you. I need you, Holy Spirit. There's a Christian song, isn't there, from some years ago, and a new version of it came out recently. I need you every hour. And you say to Jesus through his Holy Spirit, I need you. I can't manage this Christian thing, this discipleship living, without the power of the Holy Spirit. I need you. And we need to cry to him every day and ask for him every day. Sometimes there are things that block the channel. Sometimes there are behaviors. There are things we're saying and doing that don't allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. And some of those things we need to put aside and get rid of. So it's a negative and a positive attitude to life that we talked about last week. Sometimes getting rid of the rubbish in our lives, getting rid of what's blocking the channel, and allowing the Holy Spirit to have space to move. And another thing we need to do is to recognize, if you're feeling left out and not a part of the body, I pray that somebody will come alongside to encourage you. And maybe when we come together on a Sunday, when we come together at Open House later on, we will seek ways to encourage one another. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to do with the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Get alongside. And is there a way that I can encourage that person? I look across the room and I see that your face is looking a bit down today. You're not quite your sparkly self as usual. I want to come alongside and either actually physically or spiritually put my arm around you and say, look, come on, we're in this thing together. We can do this together. With God and the Holy Spirit, we can do this. So we're called to be the body of Christ. When the Holy Spirit fills us, we are called to do this thing together, knowing that we're all unique. We all have, and we're coming on to this point now, we all have a gift in the Holy Spirit. We're gifted by the Spirit. Now, there are actually 9 gifts pictured up there. I'm not absolutely sure that there are only 9 gifts of the Spirit. I think there's an awful lot more. Then they're not necessarily all listed. But it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, that gifts are given for the common good. I used to say that spiritual gifts are not given to me to build up my own ego. I've got enough ego of my own without it being built up anymore. Gifts of the Spirit are given to me and to you to build up the ego of others, to encourage others. It says, Christ gave gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, Christ gave gifts for works of service to build up the body of Christ. So you're given a gift so that you can strengthen other Christians and witness to those who are not Christians. You're not given it for your own sense of big-headedness, for your own sense of self-importance. Having said that, the Bible also says we're to think of each other in a sensible way. So the other extreme that I find some Christians do is they put themselves down. They say, I'm not good enough. I can't do this thing. I've got no talents. I've got no gifts. Let me tell you this, you have. Maybe sometimes if you're younger, and maybe sometimes when you get a bit older, you still haven't really discovered what they are. You need to spend time with some of your leaders. You need to look into the fact and say, what can I do in the name of Jesus? We'll look at that out in a bit later on. But there are three lists of gifts. At least 3 lists of gifts in the New Testament. There's one in Ephesians, which I've often talked about as being ministries. And the gifts in Ephesians include apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which may be the same thing. It may be pastors and teachers as one. It may be pastors and teachers separately. It doesn't really matter that much. Apostles are there to establish and plant churches. Prophets to bring God's word in a variety of ways. Evangelists to encourage the sharing of the gospel and to empower you and me to share the gospel. An evangelist is not just a person who goes out there and preaches, although a lot of them are very outgoing type of people if you're an evangelist, but they're also to encourage us to share the gospel with other people as well. Pastors, to shepherd the flock, to sit alongside, to care and to counsel. Teachers, to divide up the word of God and teach the truth of God. So all of those are, if you like, people gifts, ministries in the church. Then we come to Romans chapter 12, and we have what I would call motivations, where Romans 12 talks about prophecy, about serving. Have you thought of that as a gift? And by the way, as a little bit of an aside, elsewhere in the Bible, suffering is described as a gift. Do you want that one? If you're seeking after gifts, do you want the gift of suffering? You turn that one down. But I know some people who seem to have that gift, who seem to go through difficult times and yet still show the glory of God in their lives. That's part of what the Holy Spirit works in us. So prophecy, serving, teaching. And that doesn't just mean preaching from the pulpit. It means sitting alongside your family, sitting alongside people in a small group, sharing your testimony, sharing the gospel with them. That's part of the teaching of the word of God. Encouraging, contributing financially or whatever else you can contribute. Leadership. Some are called to be leaders. Some are not called to be leaders. Doesn't mean leaders are more important, it just means it's a different gifting. And also the last one, it says showing mercy. And all of those things, Romans says, when you've got your gift, when you know what your gift is, use it. You see, it'll be Christmas soon, won't it? Not very long, about half a year away. When you get your Christmas gifts, what will you do with them? When someone gives you a parcel, Bob, what are you going to do with it? Yes, open it up and use it for what it was given to you for. You're going to open it up and you're going to say, it was Gene, it was just what I always wanted. Right, okay, whatever he gets. I always wanted one of these, but the wheels fell off. You know, yeah. But seriously, you open your gift and you use your gift. Because if you just put it on one side on the shelf and say, well, thanks for that, Gene, I'll open that maybe next week or whatever. You know, it's not much. You're not much of a gift, is it? Sat on the shelf, wrapped up. So when God gives us a gift by the power of the Holy Spirit, he expects us to use it. And that's what Romans 12 is all about. Romans 12, he says, find your gift, use your gift. Get on and do what God has called you to do. It doesn't mean sometimes holding back and saying, but I'm not quite good enough yet. I need to be a bit stronger before I can do this. He says, get on and use it. If your gift's serving, serve someone. If your gift's encouraging, find someone to encourage. Look for those you deliberately can encourage. And then 1 Corinthians 12, we have something that I've called manifestations. And we can talk about those at another time and perhaps in our small groups in the week if we get together in groups. The gift of knowledge. Knowing something about someone that no other way could you possibly know. Having faith. Well, we've all got faith in some respects, but sometimes there's somebody who has a particular strength of faith and carries us through in prayer really has that strong gift of faith, believing that something, and encourages us with that faith in a particular area. Gifts of healing. I believe that God heals. I believe that God heals in all sorts of ways, whether it's through doctors or whether it's miraculously. God heals, and we pray for healing. Miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, knowing what God is saying, knowing when actually in a particular person's circumstance it isn't God that's speaking, recognizing the difference. The gift of tongues, which we could talk about in detail at another time, for worship and the interpretation of tongues. I believe primarily in our lives we have two kinds of gifts. We have natural gifts, the natural people that we are, the kind of person we are. Some of us have a musical ability, don't we, Helen? Helen, I think, has a certain musical ability, do you? Right, okay, good. Well, I think she does, and Jenny has a musical ability. These two lads here have a musical ability to play the guitar. If you gave me a guitar, it'd be a total waste of time. If you put me in front of a piano keyboard, it'd be a total waste of time. You'd just get a loud noise. You'd probably stop me playing. If you wanted me to sing, I need to do it on my own, in the car or in the shower. Seriously, because I don't have that ability. That's not my gifting. It's not my natural gifting. It would be really supernatural if someone suddenly God gave me a voice to sing tunefully. It would be completely amazing, completely fantastic. So there are natural gifts that we have. Some of us are naturally outgoing, naturally outspoken. One of the things I love to do, you know, when I go around the shops and things like that, and when I'm walking around, is to speak to other people in the street. And sometimes you get a brilliant reaction. Sometimes you get a very odd look. But I tend to believe that one of my gifting is I'm quite an outgoing sort of person, aren't I? I'm not a sort of hide in the background sort of person, but some other people are very quiet, and I've known some people in my life who've got a gift of being sort of quite quiet and subdued, but when they do say something, you know it was worth saying. So we're all different. We have natural gifts, but we also have supernatural gifts. God gives us special gifts, sometimes for a period of time, sometimes as a one-off, sometimes in a service we might hear somebody that normally says nothing speak out and say, I believe God is saying this, and we say, yeah, absolutely, we've heard that from you. So God is a, through the Holy Spirit, is a one who gives gifts to us. He gives natural gifts. He makes us who we are. He makes us the personality that we are, outgoing, quiet, whatever sort of personality you are. God makes us that personality. But also he gives us supernatural gifts to do things that we otherwise couldn't do. I want to ask you a question to think about. What comes naturally to you? I remember going to a church once and doing a seminar on spiritual gifts. And I said, one of the first things to look at in your life is, what are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? And they sat back in horror and they said, surely God wants you to do things that are hard and hard and hurt. Sorry, it's his teeth. God wants you to make it difficult for you to serve him. And I said, of course he doesn't. If you enjoy doing something, if you enjoy spending time with children as I do, maybe God has given you that gift. If you enjoy being behind the keyboard and playing music, maybe that's your gift that God has given you. Why shouldn't you enjoy serving God? What do you think? And God has given you things that you enjoy doing, that you love doing. And you say, well, that could be the beginning of my service for God. That's what I enjoy doing. I love doing that. So we can ask ourselves the question, where do I fit in this church and in the church in the world? So we have at least three lists of gifts in the Bible. I don't believe they're the only gifts. And I believe we're all totally unique and we're all gifted. That's, if you forget everything else I've rambled on about this morning, and just remember that you are unique and you are special and you are gifted. That's all you need to remember and say to God, how can I be used in the world and in the church because you are special? Finally then, we're called also to be fruitful in the Spirit. And there's a few. There's also listed sometimes 9 fruits of the Spirit, but I've got a feeling there are a lot more than that as well. We're told in this passage to live by the Spirit and demonstrate these aspects of character. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, somebody came, I can't remember, I think it was, might have been, I forget who it was now, who preached on this, and he reminded us that it's not a case like a gift, like the spiritual gifts, you tend to say, well, I've got one gift more predominant than the other, I can choose what my gift is. When it comes to spiritual fruit, please don't decide, well, my gift's going to be joy, my fruit's going to be joy. I'm not peaceful. I'm not patient, I'm not kind, I'm just going to be joyful. That's not what it's about. You know, God says, I want to give you all of these things. When you begin to love others, you experience joy from loving others. As I said, I spent Friday evening with little Mia, who's 4, and little Lily, who's 3, looking after them, and it was a joy. It was great fun. It wasn't so much of a joy when they didn't want to go to bed, But gratefully, in the end, I got them to bed, which was even more joyful. But those sort of things, God wants us to have all of these things. In fact, somebody has said it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit in different aspects. So think about that a lot. Read them again and think about, how do they fit with my character day by day? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit has given, is planted in your life, not only to give you a gift to serve Him, but to give you fruit to demonstrate the reality of Him. And fruits need cultivating. Who's the gardener in our fellowship? I know Anne's a bit of a gardener. Is that fair enough to say you're a bit of a gardener? Or is that Jenny and John good in the garden? David likes a bit of gardening, don't you? A bit of fruit. It's good to see some fruit going, but you don't just gonna plant the seeds and leave it, do you? Do you? All right, okay. That's not what you're supposed to do. That's why it's not working. I used to admire Stephen in the days when he talked to me about his allotment and took me around his allotment. It was hard work, wasn't it, Kathy?
Yeah.
Working on that allotment. And there's so many issues. If you're going to get any vegetables and fruit, you've got to work hard. Well, the same is true, let me tell you, of spiritual fruit. You've got to work on it. It's no good sitting back at home, watching TV and saying, I just need a bit more patience. You've got to work on it. Let the Holy Spirit give you that patience. You know the prayer, don't you? Lord, make me patient and do it now. You know that prayer? But seriously, we've got to cultivate those things. So they don't just arrive naturally and automatically. We need cultivating them. So as we come to the end, hopefully, use your gift. We need you. Wasn't that a picture in the war? You are needed. You see, don't think that you can be part of the church and think, well, I'm going to sit, apologies to those who are, I'm going to sit at the back and I'm not going to do anything. We need you. We'll miss out if we lose the gift that you've got. We need that gift because you're special, you're unique. No one else is like you. And you might say, thank goodness for that. Or thank goodness that no one else is like Tim. We're all different, we're unique, but we are all special. We've all got God's gift. And that's what I really wanted to stress today. But also, if we're going to have fruit in our lives, we need to cultivate that fruit and we need to grow it. Maybe we sometimes need to look at some of those fruits and we need to come to God and say, well, actually, I need a bit more of that. I need a bit more of that. That's an aspect of the fruit I need to really cultivate. I need to concentrate on being more peaceful. I need to concentrate on being more encouraging. Whatever it is, you might need one of those things. Let's sing a final song. Then 814 is In My Life, Lord, Proclaim Your Glory. 814. Because that's what it's all about. We want Jesus to be seen in me through the work of the Holy Spirit, whether it's through the gifts that He's given us or the fruits He's given them. And somebody has once said, what's more important, the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit? The answer is neither. They both are. They absolutely both must exist in our lives. In my life, Lord, proclaim your glory.